TotallyIowa.com. Iowa Business Report is his weekly show down in Iowa. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report he does at KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
Do you have doggy doo on your shoes?
No, not really.
Why? Okay, because Speaker Pelosi says that the president is like a child with doggy dew on his shoes, and therefore it just kind of gets all over. That was one of her comments today.
Well, I actually prefer my comment that Trump basically is a morbidly obese kid eating a jar of paste. So,
but hey, now he has a lawyer in the family. His daughter graduated from law school.
Sure she did. Anyway, well, actually, Tiffany, I'll say this about Tiffany. She's the quiet one. Maybe she is like, you know, I want nothing to do with this. She goes into a private practice out in, like, Topeka. You know, she wants nothing to do with anything else. Maybe that's her game, and isn't all my best to her if that's the case.
Well, it sounds like that, you know, somebody, you know, said something to him about him, was the first he'd heard of it, because immediately tweets about it and then apparently invited her to the White House. I'm not sure he knew she was in law school.
Does he? But, he hardly remembers Eric, for God's sakes.
You know? Well, but of all who are eminently forgettable, no, that's not.
Well, Eric is. I will say that the hard part for this is that reminder. This is a guy that weeks after his youngest child was born, he was in a hotel room with a porn star. And you can say as much as you much how much he loves his kid now. Nah, all right, we'll go.
Wasn't that Don Jr., though?
No, what not?
I think you may be getting the kids mixed up. I'm not positive.
Oh no, it was his youngest. I'm almost positive of it.
Okay,
I'm almost positive of it because it was with Melania.
Oh! I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to Eric as being the one fooling around. You were talking about the commander in chief.
Oh yeah, no, the Spanky McSpanky pants. Yes, you know. When I refer to him as a morbidly obese man eating a tub of paste, there's a specific reason I said so.
I imagine.
There's the IGs. These IGs, the inspector generals, are getting fired. State Department fires there. The Transportation Department fires them. It was interesting. Right. In the case of the Pompeo firing of his IG, there was talk about, he's having staff members run errands, which is unethical. He was basically having parties over at the State Department to wine and dine big business people, media people, foreign executives, which is also, you know, inappropriate. But it was the minute that all of a sudden it came out that the IG was also looking into that arms deal with Saudi Arabia, that all of a sudden at that exact moment almost, Trump comes on out and says, I'm taking hydroxychloroquine. And to everyone, what? You're doing what? And it was the morbidly obese man eating the tub of paste, because all of a sudden all the cameras went on the man eating the paste, and sort of left the inspector general story, although it does seem to have more legs. That's Trump's game plan. The more damaging a story is, and it sounds like that State Department IG story could be pretty damaging, the more he comes on out here and eventually might just drop trow and start doing a Benny Hill skit in the middle of the White House lawn.
Now have that image with the music, so thank you.
You're welcome. Yakety sax. Yakety sax, man.
Boots Randolph, RIP. Well, look, here's the thing. It is not the first time a politician or an elected official would use deflection, right? I mean, something bad's over here, and then, whoa, shiny object over here. I mean, it's the whole premise of wag the dog,
yes.
All right?
Yes.
The fact that the Secretary of State declined to participate in the investigation by the inspector general and then went down the street and said, Dad, Tommy's being mean to me, punish him. And it's like, well, I don't know him. Well, I'll fire him, sure, because I can. I'm known for this. I mean, that's where we start having problems. Now, I get, but and this is what I saw reported, and it may be totally wrong. Pompeo says we need to get rid of this guy. Trump says, I don't know him. Did I appoint him? Pompeo says, no, Obama did. Trump's response, okay, I'll fire him. It's like, oh, all right. Now, I'm not saying that there are not shenanigans going on all over the place, but that is so basic and textbook in terms of why you have a supposedly independent inspector general. You can't have a situation where the inspector general says, I'd like to do an investigation into your swanky parties, And then the Secretary of State says, oh, yeah, I'll make sure nobody investigates me, and off we go. That's the textbook of what's not supposed to happen. There are supposed to be reasons why, and this is how the law is stated. Mr. President, whomever you are, if you want to fire an inspector general, you've got to provide documented reasons to Congress. More or less, it's giving notice, and you have to give 30 days notice. So he gives the 30 days notice and says, I don't trust him anymore. That's really not what the statute had in mind, and that is not statutorily good enough.
Well, and then we also should remind her that the first time he was asked about it, he basically said, oh, yeah, Pompeo told me to can the guy. And you know.
The bus. Did you hear the Greyhound come right down Main Street?
Well, and it just – you could see – oh, I didn't have to see Pompeo. I could just see – I could hear the facepalm that he did there because, you know, yeah, he did – by that, and regardless of what you want to say at that point, Trump has basically, oh, yeah, Pompeo told me to fire the inspector general, so I did. You're not going to be able to walk that back. And regardless of whether or not Trump wins or loses in November, the reality is that's going to be something that's going to be looked into now, I guarantee you, come next year.
Well, now, you've got the Supreme Court today denying – House committee wanting information for another impeachment investigation. And again, the Supreme Court denied it only because it's premature because the other investigation is not completed. But yes. I mean, you know, this is, and you and I've talked about this. Trump will be the first president to be impeached twice. I thought it was going to require a second term, but the way we're headed, I can't make that promise.
I still think that, I mean, and you and I talked about this with the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. If they do come down and say, I'm sorry, you have to hand over your taxes, I think that by the end of that day, Trump's going to have resigned. Uh-huh. I really do. I think for him, nothing scares him more than them seeing the taxes.
We are going to have to wager lunch at the Park Diner on this one.
Park Tavern.
I was thinking of lunch. And neither of us will lose if we have lunch at the Park Tavern. However, tax returns just don't have what you think they have in them.
But he clearly, it's not, let's know this about Trump. It's gone beyond the idea of what's in them. It's the fact that he has to win this. And it's the shame and the embarrassment of now Nancy Pelosi and those damn Democrats get what they want. I'm going to – let me call Pence. Let me call McConnell. Let me call the head of the RNC. Okay, I'm going to resign. What do you do? How do you make sure that those tax returns never get on out? I'll resign. I'll flip them off as I go, and I'll sail off in the sunset. It's not about the tax returns. It's about him having to win at this point. And if he cannot win, I think he'll walk.
You're buying lunch.
I'm not going to be buying lunch, man. I will. It will be. I'm going to have everything on that menu that day.
Do you have takeout? Because I have a truck. Yeah. Well, the thing is, no. You're right. He does not want to lose. It has become uber personal. Okay, but I can just as easily see him flip it and say that this is yet another example of how he's being persecuted and no one has ever had to put up with this and blah, 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 the same stuff that we always hear.
The inspector general, getting back to those stories, the inspector general for the Transportation Department also was let go. And it seems like this was once again another case where they were inspecting. I mean, Chow is, of course, Mitch McConnell's wife. And apparently tons of money getting poured into Kentucky for transportation projects. And the inspector general said, okay, wait a minute, we have to take a look at this. And immediately he's let go. Once again, here's another investigation. I guarantee you that this is not going to go away either. I mean, and clearly McConnell's trying to buy his seat through the transportation. I mean, his wife has appeared with him numerous times on campaign trail in Kentucky. So, I mean, there is there's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, we're shifting as much money out of Washington, D.C. into Kentucky as possible. Keep reelecting me. But the reality is that that's not going to go away either.
And the fact that the sitting Senate majority leader does have a race back home, and this has happened to Democrats too, Tom Daschle, right? I mean, you know, there are times that the folks at home say, you done got too big for your britches. And they and you're not taking care of home, and simply funneling money through the back door doesn't do it. So the fact that he's needing to do it is my point. The fact that he's needing to do it really shows you the difficulty he has at home. Mm-hmm. And so it could all be for naught.
The country is getting reopened again here. Trump with his paste eating aside. The reality is that there's a big breath being taken here. There's stories out of the COVID-19 numbers out of Georgia and Florida. Florida, they fired a woman that was responsible for the case count and death count in Florida because she said I wouldn't manipulate the numbers for them. Georgia, they have an admission that they've been manipulating the numbers. You clearly have. I think that this is going on a large scale in some of these Republican controlled states. This kind of terrifies me because once the cork comes out of the bottle, perchance, there's going to be a mess. I mean, there's going to be a really high death toll here, and I think people are going to be somewhat outraged that this was an attempt to keep this hidden.
We all know that once you start reopening, you're going to have a spike in cases because people are not going to take precautions. You just know that that's going to happen. You have to hope that the citizens have some sense of maturity, for example. But the knowing that, and I think everybody understands that, so therefore it is folly to cook the books on the numbers. It makes no sense, especially when it is so easily contradicted. When you have the counties in a state specifically saying, the state is reporting this. It's really this over here. I mean, I've seen that right where I'm at. It requires, at the very least, explanation, and then it does sometimes uncover the skullduggery you're talking about. And I'm not talking about, okay, you're going to open some things, you're going to expect naturally a huge spike. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who, when they hear it's open, figure, oh, I can do whatever I want, and they're reckless. You will have some of that regardless of whether you do it now, 6 months from now, because there will be people, you know, let's say there's a vaccine. I don't think there will be, but let's say there is. You'll have people who aren't going to take the vaccine. Yeah, I mean, you can't account for everyone's individual choice. But the fact that you try to cook the books, when everybody knows there'll be some variance in numbers, it's not only wrong, but it's so unnecessary, and that really makes it even worse when they're committing wrong that's so unnecessary.
Well, and the thing that I always keep, as you're talking about, there's no point in doing this. Well, there is one point, trying to make Trump look good. You don't, because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, right now we are going to pass World War I's death count. And if you think about it, I mean, you're living in Iowa. My God, most of the towns in Iowa have a World War I memorial where the brave boys went over and fought in the Great War. Exactly. And they went out there. We are going to have more people probably by mid-June have died of coronavirus in 4.5 months than died in World War I. Now, it would truly be tragic if we actually then got to the next stage. I think that would make us the fourth largest crisis, death count crisis in this country behind Civil War, World War II, and the flu outbreak of 1918. But the reality is that the fear is you won't win if this looks like it's a completely incompetent administration. You look like an incompetent administration if you have these high death count and high infection rates, especially when we're generally not the country that leads the world in this stuff. And so I think that there is definitely a plan in place to say, you know, keep the numbers down, lie if you have to. It doesn't matter. And then we'll just get past the election day and then we'll let the truth come out.
And the only dispute I would have with that is that I think these state officials are mercenary enough that they're more concerned about their own reelections. And so wow. I think they would be somewhat hesitant to go along with some grand scheme because they're all in it for themselves. Right. I mean, all of these officials are, you know, they say they want to do the public good, but their main idea is they want to keep their jobs.
Well, Kemp and DeSantis, though, I mean, those guys are lapdogs, for goodness sakes.
Well, okay, what issue do you have with the Florida numbers?
Well, the Florida numbers, it wasn't that they were changed, it's that they fired the woman because they were telling her to doctor them. And she said, I'm not going to doctor them, I'm not going to undercount, I'm going to do this correctly. So she got canned and she came on out and that was the report on her. Georgia, they've admitted that they've not been reporting the numbers accurately. So you have those two states combined that are doing it. I mean, I understand what you're saying. But the moral fiber of a Mitt Romney or a Lisa Murkowski, who occasionally finds her voice, this is a party that is ruled by Trump, that if you didn't get in line behind Trump, that you were punished, and we have seen it over and over again. And I think these governors are terrified. I mean, the guy in Maryland and Ohio, about the only two other options that basically stand up to the guy. But the rest of the Republican governors, they seem to have been told, you get in line or else, you know, we're going to come against you. We'll make sure you're never serving another term because we'll primary you out of the race.
Well, okay, two things. One, Hogan and DeWine, Maryland and Ohio respectively, have both seemed rather compliant lately. Whatever fire and brimstone they had.
I will agree with that, yes.
And as far as, you know, the threats to primary somebody out, if a Republican governor sees the White House slipping away, then jump out before the boat sinks. I mean, that's what I think will wind up happening. Now, is it happening to this point? No, it's not. Because of the fact that it's too early to make these kinds of determinations. But I do think that they're looking at it because, look, let's say it's Governor Matt McNeil. And I don't know who the president is. Yeah, well, you know, stranger things have happened in your state, okay? So it's Governor Matt McNeil. I don't care what party Matt McNeil is. I don't care what party the president is. The governor has to get what they can from the president to help the citizens. It's a go-along-to-get-along thing to a degree. But if there's no way you're getting what you need, you're not going to play along. You're going to do what you have to do for your citizens and potentially for your own career. And so I think there is a breaking point for some of these people. I don't know DeSantis. I don't know any of these people. I don't know DeSantis, but obviously he was Trump's chosen candidate to hold on to the governorship there, gave up the seat in Congress for it. That's where Trump lives now. Obviously there's some connection there. The Georgia governor was raked over the coals by Trump for his reopening too soon, so that's the thanks he got for whatever was going on. I'm not saying there isn't – well, I know there's pressure. We know there's pressure from Washington. I just am not prepared to say that there's uniform talking points that they all seem to take. I will tell you, and you can put the dots together on this one. The Iowa governor went to the White House, and all of a sudden we started opening things up, even though she was under self-isolation, modified quarantine, because she was at the White House when it all started hitting the fan. Mm-hmm. Are there people saying, well, okay, I guess she got the talking to? Maybe, because it sure looks convenient, mm-hmm. although she never did put a close-the-whole-state-down order, as some did.
Well,
there are people, to your point, who are saying, you know, it's funny. She was there on a Wednesday. The vice president came to Iowa on Friday. And all of a sudden, the next week, let's start opening up the state.
I got to take a break. We're really late. Well, let's get to Jeff Stein. We'll finish up with him. We'll talk Arizona when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Make the most of your time at home with a new gas, pellet, or charcoal grill during Warner Stellion's Grill Expo. Get the lowest prices of the year online, by phone, or in-store. Then enjoy free assembly, contact-free delivery, and free haul-away only at Warner Stellion.
Thank you, Eric. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Jeff Stein here. Jeff, the numbers for Republicans in Arizona look really bad. McSally is going to get beaten and badly by Kelly in that Senate race. As a matter of fact, the numbers that came out today, and once again, one poll, but these polls kind of been showing this the entire time, that Kelly is now leading by 13 points in Arizona. The Democrat is leading by 13. In Maricopa County, which is about as reliable as red district as you get in this country, he is beating her by 3 points. This is McSally, reminder, she lost that race, was appointed to finish out John McCain's seat, and now she's going to get woefully destroyed. I could not find another case like this where the incumbent president has a candidate for Senate running in a state where they lost, that incumbent candidate for Senate lost by 10 points or more, and that incumbent president also won the state. So Arizona, just by pure numbers and a bad candidate, is now definitively in play for the 2020 election cycle.
He's running from her like she's on fire.
Oh, yeah.
And we know this because when he went, and again, to your point, she lost the last election and was rewarded by being appointed. So voters know. They've already had their chance to vote on her statewide, and they said, no, thank you, please. Okay. When Trump went to Arizona not that long ago, there's reporting that they were going over his remarks in his cabin or his room on Air Force One, and he said, get this reference to McCain out, because there was some reference that he was supposed to honor John McCain, and the aides mumbled something. He said, I don't care if McSally wants it in there. Get it out. So not only is his hatred for McCain still very fresh, he doesn't care about throwing her under the bus. And I think that's the attitude that you're going to get, because, you know, if he has to write off that whole state, fine. He'll find another sycophant he can go along with elsewhere.
Well, and he sees, and that's the problem. He needs Arizona. I mean, his math is tight as it is. And right now, North Carolina, the Burr crisis in North Carolina could end up hurting North Carolina for them. Florida is definitely looking like it could be in play. Biden is doing very well with the seniors. Who would have ever guessed is saying telling the seniors to go die of coronavirus wouldn't get their votes for them, for God's sakes. You know, you've got these states which have been traditionally Republican who are now in play, plus Pennsylvania, Michigan. These are states which are almost guaranteed to go go Democrat in this next election cycle. He can't afford to lose states. I mean, we're starting to get, and you're the first to say it's early, but the math is starting to show a real dark side for Trump here.
I'm waiting to see who Biden picks as his running mate. That's going to define everything. That's what the summer is going to be focused on, because again, people are given a choice. They were given a choice 4 years ago. They're given a choice now. And those independents that swung the election one way last time, they're waiting. And so you're right in everything you just said, but there's still a lot of pieces to be played out here.
Do you think Biden, we got about 30 seconds, do you think Biden's handling this well right now?
He's got to get the tech thing figured out. It's not helping, you know, where he has to say, am I on? You know, come on. I mean, that's the biggest problem. They need to stick with stuff that works, okay? Record him. That's fine. But nobody's listening to what he's saying because of the tech stuff, and he deserves better.
Well, and he's going to have a lot of votes just because he's the guy who's not. What you're going to see with Trump is the opposite of what happened in 2016. It's, you know, people are voting for Biden just because they don't want Trump.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could have those independents are going to swing it, and it might go the other way because, again, we have to see what the factors are this time as opposed to 4 years ago. And all those states you mentioned, like Pennsylvania, those weren't landslides, for crying out loud. Those could go the other way in a heartbeat.
And very much. We got Yakety Sax here. There you go. We'll send you out with this. Jeff Stein, once again, books at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. I will watch Iowa Political Report put out next week, or tonight. Till tomorrow. See ya.